Good morning, 738 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Thank you for listening this morning. It's good to have you there. Joining us now in studio, we have Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great. We've got a couple of big cases to talk about that we've seen in the news, but anything that's happened in the last day that we didn't already know about?
Well, if you were on the roadway yesterday about 5 p.m. around Davis Highway, you've probably seen a emergency response from Pensacola Police Department and the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. What appears to have happened is someone called the Pensacola Police Department line and said multiple people had been shot at a pizza business up on Davis Highway, and then there's a masked man in the closet or in the back room. And so we all get there, obviously, and the Pensacola Police Department arrives as well, and ends up being a fake call, or what they call a swatting call. For unfortunately, some idiots out there think that it's cool to make fake phone calls and just to see if they can get a response.
These have had people. I think people have been killed.
People have been shot, injured
because of the misunderstanding. And when police show up, they want to, you know, they're prepared for a certain set of scenarios. Right. And if that's not true, how does the people respond that are not expecting this? Obviously,
well, as you can imagine, the law enforcement response to an active shooter situation is going to be severe.
Right.
And in yesterday's situation, I mean, it was raining. The roads were wet. A lot of our cruiser cars were going there with lights and sirens. Pensacola Police Department were going there with lights and sirens. And like you said, it's very dangerous. And we're obviously investigating it. And I can guarantee you, if we can find out who did it, then they will go to jail. And I'll do my best to talk to the state attorney's office about not allowing anyone to have any kind of diversion or a lesser sentence.
Is that something that's I know you say you're investigating, and I'd never ask you to give away techniques or anything like that, but I always assume that when you call in, I mean, they always ask you who you are. I always assume you have caller ID, and if you need to find me, you probably could. Is that a fair assumption to make, that when I'm calling, generally you can? Because you have to, like, if somebody calls, if it's domestic and they get hang up, you got to show up, right? So yeah. You can find me if you need to, if I'm a caller.
Typically, if that's the type of call that they made, sometimes they make these VoIP calls.
Okay, voice over IP calls. Got it. Okay.
And so we may not be able to, you know, to determine exactly who made the phone call, and especially the ones that go into the administrative lines. That's why they go into the landlines,
as opposed to 911.
They didn't have that right.
Okay.
But I would just so people understand, in case you're questioning, you know, what our response was for, and, you know, a lot of times people will see a response and look on the media to see what may have happened.
Yeah.
Because it was a pretty extensive response, again, as you can imagine.
But all totally fake.
It was all totally fake. There was not a shooter. There was no one shot. There was nothing going on. Unfortunately, no one was hurt, injured on our response as well.
Thank goodness for that. You had, and I hate talking about kid cases. I really genuinely do, but I know these are sometimes the things that happen. You had this bizarre case of a mother trying to poison her child. And tell me what happened here. This is it's very upsetting. Go ahead.
Yeah, the report we get, there's a 30-year-old woman, and I'm not going to even mention her name. I don't want to sensationalize these things, but she decides, according to reports, she decides that she's going to take pills and end her life. And why don't she take her six or nine-year-old daughter with her, making the comment allegedly that we'll both go to heaven. You know, so the report is that fortunately a family member saw them and knew that their actions were erratic, and their behavior was such that the family member thought that they were on some sort of drugs. Took the emergency room, fortunately. And both are expected to survive.
Thank goodness.
We charge the mother. It's just, you know, it's certainly sad. It's just confusing as to why you would want to do that. First of all, to yourself, and then secondly, you know, take a member of your family, a small child with you. It's just ridiculous.
I know in an ideal world, anytime something like that happens, you would be able to find a different place for that child to live, because they certainly can't be safe going back to that home environment. But I also know we live in a world where there's limited fostering ability, there's, you know, scarce, just you only have so many options, and what do you do? And somebody was telling me you know, about a case where, you know, you would think that was an obvious separate the child from the parent, but they didn't, they sent him back. I'm like, oh my God, that can't be true. What is it really like from law enforcement's perspective? Are kids, like, in a situation like this, are there enough resources for fostering and to get these kids to safety, or is it sometimes they do go back to their parents?
Well, my understanding is if they go back to their parents, it's because the Department of Children and Family Services have done their investigation. They have presented that to a judge, you know, to a circuit judge here that makes a determination on where the child ultimately can go. So I don't see that, that there's not room for someone. I know we were working with DCF in this case, and they did take possession of the child, and then they will. In most cases, look for a family member that can watch the child. In this case, a family member, a responsible family member, actually came in and likely saved them. So I would think that would be some sort of a resolution or a solution to their the immediate situation. And then the ultimately it will go before before a judge. And again, do I think that the mother should have the child? No, I do not.
Right.
I mean, clearly that person is a danger. But again, I don't know what their mental makeup is. I don't know what crisis they were going through. And that's why I'm not the expert in that type of situation. All I know is that the child was removed from the family and was safe as of a couple of days ago.
All right. Well, I had heard a very terrible story that I'm not going to say because details may be relevant, but I'd heard that and I wanted to ask what your perspective was on the overall status. You guys also had a kind of a weird story. I guess it was some folks coming home found a naked guy in their house and wound up shooting at him. And do we know more about what happened here? Or is this...
Well, yeah, we don't know more about it, but we get to report that a family came home, and it was a guy in the kitchen, and they didn't know him; it was a stranger.
Mm.
And so they get into a scuffle, and the homeowner pulls a weapon and fires it at him. I guess it grazes him.
Went for another gun, right? Had a backup, a shotgun or something. I mean, like, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, that's it. Basically, he shot at him. The guy's claiming that someone let him in and mistaken identity, but we're not buying it. And so he was charged with the burglary and then the scuffle with the homeowner.
You guys also have been recently doing some work with the ATF, and you had a stop that involved this and also involved a child involved, right? Is that...
Yeah, today's not a good day for parenting. Certainly not parenting advice. So we were helping doing some surveillance with the ATF, and then what we noticed was a lady that was making some stops and clearly doing some drug deals. The problem was that she had her child in the car with her. So when we stopped her, we found trafficking amounts of drugs, and then obviously she had her child in the car with him. So we called DCF, as we just discussed.
Yeah.
She's gone to jail for trafficking and drugs and child abuse, and her child is hopefully safe with DCF or someone that DCF placed the child with.
You know, you mentioned that she was making stops to distribute drugs, and it reminds me of the conversation that we've been having all day about the EMS plan by Chief David Torsell in Escambia County to bring in this CORE program to help get people onto medication that will take away their craving for drugs, take away the ability to get high, and then take away the danger of getting overdosed, kind of all of that, if we can get them on. Okay. And part of that conversation, Commissioner Underhill had made the comment that while we shouldn't be arresting the ordinary user, we can absolutely arrest the dealers, and that law enforcement is an important side of this. And from your perspective, long time serving, I mean, I'm going back to serving on the narcotics unit at PPD when you were there. I know this is a huge topic and you've worked on this a lot. Is it something where we need to be doing more arresting? Is it something where we need to be more treating, more preventing? Just we need to be doing more, because it is getting out of hand, the number of overdoses.
There's a lot there.
Yeah.
I can tell you that regarding the dealer versus the user, there's a lot of dealers. There's a big dealer, and there's a mid-level dealer, and there's a low-level dealer, and then there's the users. The low-level dealers are also typically users regard. I can tell you that we prioritize the efforts of our narcotics unit. Typically, we don't go after the users, but sometimes you run across them and you make those charges. So we typically go after the mid and upper level distributors, which you've oftentimes heard us talk on press conferences. Now, but I do think that there is, regarding the users and the opioid epidemic, I think that there's room for a multi-prong approach to a lot of these things. And we're working on it with our behavior response team, and we're trying to get grant funding so that we can work with a mental health counselor and different people. So there's a lot of things that are working. We're certainly willing to work with them. It's not going to stop us from targeting the major drug dealers, the people that are killing people right here in Escambia County.
All right, very good. Let's talk about some good stories. You guys graduated your first female class of Blazer Academy, right?
Yeah, we had 20 young ladies. We graduated them last Tuesday at the Sanger. So we certainly appreciate the use of the Sanger Theater. They were on stage, and I told the parents when I got a chance to speak that I appreciate the chance to that they shared their young ladies with us, and I appreciate the look into our future, because really that's what we're doing. We're talking to, we're mentoring, we're having a dialogue with our future leaders, the people that are going to be running this community when we are older and retired. So it was just a great experience. We're certainly proud of the Blazer Academy. Now we have both the men's Blazer Academy and a female edition of the Blazer Academy. And both of them are just is gold to us.
It's a great, great program. And finally, you and I, engaged in some physical activity over the weekend.
I'm still stretching
a
bit.
How sore are you? I can barely, my right foot up off the gas pedal. That's the one that surprised me because of the kicking motion. But there is a bit of a controversy surrounding this game. I want you to listen to this clip here for a second, and then you get your reaction.
Is it Jared? Jared Moore. Take it to me. Jared Moore's up, stretches, thinks about it. Jared Moore ain't it, but we'll take it. Jared Moore, take the phone!
Jared Moore back in.
Man, a first and second, top of the eighth. And here comes the cleanup kicker, Jared Moore!
So according to Collier Merrill, it seems like Councilman Jared Moore might have kicked five times in that game. Can you explain?
Yeah, I don't know. I can tell you that early on, the media / Navy team took a commanding lead. Four with you kicked a home run, somehow not inside the park, but inside the field.
Sure,
infield home run, somehow. But anyways, you did a good job, and you got like a 4-run lead on us, and then we came back in dramatic fashion, I might add. So when that happens, it does seem like the same people keep getting up, but that's just because we batted around the order a couple times, and that's just the way it works. And
that's your answer.
And I think the heat may have dazed your mind as
okay,
well.
Okay, all right. I'll allow it for now. But
you were distraught because I remember in the warm-ups you kicked and
my cleat came apart. Yeah, and my second kick was not spectacular. It was a super pop-up that DeLarian Wiggins caught, so that did not make me happy. I think we traded catches of each other's kicks.
Yes.
But can we just can you settle a dispute, Brent Lane,
I'm going to weigh in on this.
Tells me that his first reaction to seeing the picture of me doing a flying sidekick was that was Photoshopped. Can you please, as the representative of law and order in the community, can you attest to what you saw?
I can attest to it was right over home plate. It was right in front of us. I saw it. I mean, it was legit.
Thank you.
It was legit.
Thank you.
So what did you do?
I did a flying sidekick at the game.
A flying sidekick.
I should have done it for my second at bat. It was low. Oh, yeah, it was definitely low. the flying sidekick as a tactic is meant to take a dude off a horse. I was taking a guy who was sitting on a chair. I mean, that's
well,
where
I mean,
I,
yeah. Remember, there's
or
a
laying
picture
on the ground.
Of you that where you're flying over a chair when you're younger days.
In my younger days.
I think you've landed in that chair this past
that's
weekend.
That's exactly right.
Did you kick Brent?
I was so winded after the running the bases, too. I wanted to sit down for like 10 minutes. It was terrible.
I will tell you, I really appreciate everyone coming out.
So much fun.
You guys came out. It was a terrific time. The Navy, Village, Captain Shaskowski did a great job, him and his team, and obviously the people that the elected officials that came out.
It was a blast.
The use of the field is just amazing.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can do it. We can do it every year.
Absolutely. And thank you to you guys in the foundation for putting that on. Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, thank you for the time, sir.
You bet. Y'all take care.